And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel. Good to be with you here this morning. It's Tuesday, the 2nd of November. Squirrel Chatter is a member of the Christian Podcast Community. So I encourage you to head on over to the ChristianPodcastCommunity.com and check out all the other great curated podcasts that are over there waiting for you. Just in case you're looking for something to stick into your earbuds and get you through the day. A lot more edifying than watching Fox News or listening to most talk radio. A little of that goes a long way. A little of that keeps you up on what's going on in the world. Just enough to depress the heck out of you. So we try to stay a little bit more biblical here, even though we occasionally get into those topics as well. But this week, our topic is evangelism. And we are looking through, we're talking about evangelism. Now, there are a lot of how to evangelize courses available that are often taught in churches. D. James Kennedy's Evangelism Explosion is a big one. Been around a long time. Useful stuff in there. There's another one, I can't remember the name of the author, but it was called Share Jesus Without Fear, and it had some good stuff in it. The fact of the matter is that most people do get a little nervous about evangelism. They do get a little nervous about talking to people about their faith. I wonder why that is. I honestly think that's a spiritual issue. And the reason I say that is that we see people get nervous about stuff like this who don't get nervous about other stuff. There are people who will go on and on and on about their hobby of model railroading, and they'll talk your ear off about it if you give them half a chance. There are people that will go on and on and on about, I've got friends that are shaving enthusiasts who like using, you know, expensive razors, and there's also, I always joke about them that it's sacramental shaving. Of course, it's not. But it's just a shaving technique that they're very enthusiastic about. And they buy expensive razors and expensive shaving creams. And they got the little brushes that they put the shaving cream on with, and different razors for different sorts of things. And they always talk about how they get such a close shave and all this, that, and the other thing. And I'm a shave twice a week guy. So I shave my neck and my cheeks on Wednesday and on Sunday. Yes, I actually just told you my shaving schedule. So people get all excited about their hobbies. They will talk your ear off about their new gun or their new horse or their new car or their new motorcycle or their new computer setup. And I think the reason is that that doesn't threaten anybody. If I talk to somebody about my new gaming computer or my new off-road dirt bike, people aren't threatened by that. The gospel threatens people. And the reason the gospel threatens people is it exposes their sin and their need for a savior. It exposes their fear of death. Because we are all, as we talked about yesterday, we're all destined to die. Death is, you know, one per person on this earth. And so when we talk about evangelism, people will often think about, you know, they don't want to talk about it because they're facing their death. They're talking about their, you know, all the different things that can jump out at them that way. So we're going to talk, you know, there are a lot of different methods, a lot of ways to overcome, a lot of different presentations. Some of them are better than others. Quite frankly, the worst of them are based on sales techniques, because the gospel is not, and here's something we need to understand. The gospel is not an invitation to be accepted or rejected. The people that we're spreading the gospel to aren't getting, it's not, hey, come to the party Friday night. And they say, no, I'm not really interested. And it's no big deal. The gospel isn't an invitation. We often talk about the gospel invitation. It's not an invitation. The gospel is a command. And the command is repent and believe. The gospel is good news, but that good news ends with a command to repent and believe. If you fail to repent and believe, you face the judgment of God. Uncovered. You're naked before God in all of your wretchedness, every sin exposed, and his wrath comes upon you. So it's not a neutral thing. It's also not a product to be sold. So marketing techniques, and I've seen a lot of evangelism things that talk about closing the deal, calling for a, and there's some truth in the fact that we need to call for a decision. And everybody responds to the gospel. The elect respond with repentance and faith. The reprobate respond by hardening their hearts and accruing more judgment upon themselves. And that's just a fact of the matter. But everybody responds to the gospel. God said, my word does not return void. It accomplishes my purposes. And I think it's a hard truth, but it's one that needs to be said. God never intended to save everybody. He saves who he intends to save. And those who are not saved are not saved because he did not intend to save them. But not only did he determine the ends, he determined the means. And the means by which God saves sinners is through the proclamation of the gospel. And that's our job as Christians, as followers of Christ. It is our job to proclaim the gospel. So there's all sorts of programs and stuff that can help you do that or claim to be able to help you do that. But honestly, the best thing you can do is know the gospel. If you know the gospel, you can share it. And a lot of people try to make the gospel way too complicated. To be truthful, there's no reason to get off into the deep weeds of theology. And by the deep weeds of theology, I mean the stuff that theologians rightfully think about, things that are important, but they're not things that are urgent. And what I mean to be is they're things that are important because they're about God and they're things that are lofty and need to be thought about. But they're not urgent in that, where you come down on the question of how many angels can dance on the head of a pin isn't really going to affect what you do today at work. A lot of it is mental exercises. A lot of it is, as I believe it was John MacArthur who said, trying to unscrew the inscrutable. There are things about God that are mysterious to us that will remain mysterious to us because we are finite. He is infinite. And so as these things, we can think about these things and it's good to think about these things and it's good to read about these things. And there's nothing wrong with studying those things. But that's not necessary to be an evangelist. What's necessary to be an evangelist is to A, be a Christian, and B, to understand the gospel. Now, there are a lot of methods that say you got to have your testimony. You got to tell people your testimony, where you were before Christ, how you met Christ, and what Christ has done for you. And that's useful, but your testimony is not the gospel. You need to know the gospel. So I just want to give you a quick outline of the gospel with some verses, and then as the days go on, we'll look into some of these in a little bit more detail. But the first thing is that man is sinful. Man is sinful. Man is guilty before God. We see it in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Not a person on the planet who is not a sinner. And this is readily demonstrable by the questions that Ray Comfort asks in his Way of the Master. Way of the Master is a great program for learning how to evangelize. But he asks, you know, are you a good person? By what standard? And then walks them through the Ten Commandments, just a few of them. You don't have to go through all ten. It takes one or two, right, to show. And then you realize that, you know, James says that if you've offended in one part of the law, you've broken all of them. You're guilty of everything. So if you've ever taken something that wasn't yours and you knew it wasn't yours when you took it, you are a thief. If you have ever told somebody something that wasn't true and you knew it wasn't true, you are a liar. Well, there's two of the Ten Commandments right there. And you can go through all ten if you want. You really can. And a lot of us will sit there, well, I've never murdered anybody. And then you realize that Jesus said, if you look on a person with hate in your heart, you're guilty of murder. Because you would do it if you could and if you could get away with it. And that's true of a lot of us. Isaiah 64:6 says, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. We're all sinners before God. So man is sinful. God is holy. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 4. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. God is holy. Just an image of a holy and righteous and completely pure God in the temple, you know, that angels are flying around his head, crying out all the time, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. We see the same scene in the early chapters of Revelation. The scene before the throne, the creatures flying and singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Yeah. So this is, God is holy. And as Paul Washer has said, that's got to be the scariest thought in the world, because God is holy and we are not. We are sinners, which is why we cringe before a holy God. And again, this is why people are uncomfortable when we share the gospel. These are not pleasant truths. They're important truths. They're not pleasant truths. But these are the truths that people need to grasp in order to come to faith and repentance. This is the message. As I said yesterday, the gospel is the good news. But if you don't know the bad news, you don't know why the good news is good. I mean, somebody came running into the room and said, the fire department is here. If you don't know why you need the fire department there, you don't know how good a news that is. That could be bad news, actually. You could be a restaurant and the fire department shows up unexpectedly for dinner and you've got to feed 100 guys that you weren't expecting to have to feed. So the fact the fire department here could be bad news if you don't know why you need the fire department. So if the building is on fire and somebody says the fire department is here, well, that's good news. So knowing the bad news is what makes the good news good. So man is sinful, God is holy, and judgment is coming. All through the Bible, you can find references to the day of judgment, that man is going to stand before God and answer for his sinfulness. And I just pulled out a couple of verses here from Matthew 11, 20 through 24. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles that occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So Jesus is talking for the day of judgment that's coming. So man is sinful, God is holy, and judgment is coming. And that's the bad news. But the good news is the gospel. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. Christ died for our sins. That's the good news. And the command is to repent of your sin and believe the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for your sin. So this is a basic outline of the gospel. And I think the best way to evangelize isn't some program or plan, although those can be helpful. The best way to evangelize is to know the gospel, to soak in the gospel, to have the good news so internalized that you're able to share it, whether you have a Bible in front of you or not. Now, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago or last week sometime, I'm dyslexic. And the form of dyslexia I have makes it rote memory very difficult. I have a hard time memorizing things. I never memorized my multiplication tables. I usually can tell you roughly where something is in the Bible, but I can very rarely tell you the exact verse. There are a few verses that I can, but there are some that it's just like, okay, it's somewhere in the middle of Mark. And I can find it given a few minutes because I'll know it's there. And I also have a hard time memorizing scripture so that I can quote it back to you word for word. I can get the gist of it and the meaning of it, but very rarely can I get it word for word. And various reasons for that, but mainly it's this form of dyslexia I have. I remember one time I was talking to somebody and we were talking about Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I recited it. And the friend I was reciting it to said, you had about four versions in there, but you got it all. And that's kind of the way my memory works. I can't hold on to things because of the dyslexia. So that's the thing, is to know the gospel and know it well. Now, like I said, in the coming days and weeks, we'll look at different elements of the gospel. We may develop the sinfulness of man for a while so that we really get to understand how sinful we are. And that's something that most people don't grasp. We could talk about the holiness of God, which is just one of those subjects that can engross you for days and days and days on end. We can talk about the judgment to come, and we'll look at the scripture related to each of these things. We can go through all the different elements of the gospel, who Jesus is, what he did, you know, the active obedience, the passive obedience, just the importance of his righteousness, that he lived that perfect life we can't live, because if all he did was pay for our sins, that just brings us back to zero. What we need is that positive obedience. Yeah. So Jesus lived that perfect life so that we can then stand before God clothed in his perfection. So it's not just that he didn't do the things he ought not to do. He did the things he ought to do perfectly, completely, totally, so that we, in ways that we never can. And that's all important to the understanding of the gospel. But like I said, you don't have to be a great theologian to share the good news. All you have to do is to know that man is sinful, God is holy, judgment is coming, Christ died to pay for the sins. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Repent and believe the gospel. And that and a few Bible verses, you can proclaim the gospel. So keep that in mind. Don't get overwhelmed with the task. But if you are a Christian, it is your job to evangelize. So always be looking for opportunities. Make opportunities. Learn the gospel. Know the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. And you'll be being obedient to God. All right. Well, we are reading through the New Testament in the Legacy Standard Bible. Let me take a sip of coffee here. And I've seen messages on Facebook that people are starting to get their reprints of the New Testament Psalms and Proverbs. The second printing is out and being shipped. Excuse me just a moment. So I have a sneeze coming. Not good. hate that. I suppressed it, which means it'll jump on me totally unexpected in just a few minutes. But the second printing of the New Testament Psalms and Proverbs, some of them have already arrived in people's homes, which is very, very neat. The full version of the Bible is supposed to start shipping this month. So I'm excited for that. I'm looking forward to that package from Steadfast Bibles to come sailing into my mailbox. And I'm looking forward to getting the full text of the Legacy Standard Bible in my hand. It's going to be so exciting. You know you're a Bible nerd when you're just quivering with excitement waiting for a new translation to arrive in your mailbox. And hopefully we'll get the electronic version out pretty soon. I'd love to have access to it that way as well. Truth be known, I probably use the electronic Bible more than I use the paper Bible. Although I do take a paper Bible to church, I don't sit there and read the Bible on my iPad or anything. I like having a paper Bible in my lap. I also take notes with pen and paper. I don't remember which study it was. I should find it. But one of the either Yale or Harvard or perhaps both have banned laptops from their classrooms, or at least banned the use of laptops to take notes. They require students to take notes on paper to write them out, because all the studies have shown that you have much greater retention if you write it out on paper with a pen. which kind of indicates my generation, which had no other choice back during our days in school. If you wanted notes, you took them on paper and pen. You know, I did have some friends. Remember the old little mini cassette recorders? The little handheld mini cassette recorders used that little bitty cassette tape. I had friends that would take one of those into their lecture hall and set it on the desk. They'd sit down close to the professor if they could, and they would set that tape recorder on the desk and record the lectures. So that is certainly something that you can do. All right. Well, let's get into our reading. I've been chattering now for 25 minutes, and we still have two chapters of Matthew to read. Let's begin with our time of prayer. O Lord, our governor, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the President of the United States and the governors of the 50 states, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, navigating to the Bible software. And this is the free Legacy Standard Bible app that if you go to lsbible.org, you can follow the links. It's actually Accordance. But it's the Legacy Standard Bible is free on Accordance. And I was using it last night, so I'm in a totally different place. And I believe we are in chapter 11 today. We are. Okay. Excuse me again. All right. Matthew chapter 11 from the Legacy Standard Bible. Now it happened that when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for someone else?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." Now as these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace, who call out to the other children and say, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And Capernaum will be exalted to heaven. You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone who to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions? How he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And departing from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. But going out, the Pharisees took counsel together against him as to how they might destroy him. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them all, and warned them not to make him known, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet would be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope." Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him, so that the mute man spoke and saw. And all the crowd were astounded, and were saying, Can this man really be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, This man does not cast out demons except by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebul, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out his own, brings out his good treasure. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered and said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation eagerly seeks for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will also be with this evil generation. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak to him. Now someone said to him, Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, Who is my mother and who is my brothers? Who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples. He said, Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I hope you have a wonderful Tuesday. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. And whatever you do, do it under the glory of the Lord. And I hope to see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.